it's terrible. Don't be related to the pastor or any other pastors. They might, you know. Jim's family was always like that, and always in danger of being outed in some way. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, we thank you today that as we enter this month of December, the names of our months are all kind of Roman or some kind of Greek or Roman name. But Father, we thank you for this month, not for any other reason that the whole world stops to remember that there was a Savior born of a virgin. And however that month or however that date came about to be set, Father, we thank you that the whole world has to stop. Whether they're buying Christmas gifts or whether they're taking the day off on that day, all over the world, that day has a powerful effect. Is that because when Jesus Christ came into the world, he changed everything. And it was already known from the foundation of the world. It was already known that God was going to redeem his people and redeem the whole world, and that we might receive him by faith, even as Abraham did. So, Father, today, as we study the scripture, as we meditate upon your love for us, your provision for us, Father, let us not be neglectful of continuing to daily remember, even as we have taken the communion today. We daily remember that we have been transformed and changed, and we live in heaven, from the heart. So we love you and we give you praise today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's so good. You know, Janet and I just got back from a trip out to Arizona to visit our oldest daughter, Grace, and her husband, Thomas. And we had a wonderful, blessed Thanksgiving time together, and we're glad all the rest of our kids are okay and they know how to cook turkeys, and you know, and they can get by without us for a little while, and so we can go love on one of them and love on one of them. It's important to love on all of your kids, amen? Not just the best ones or not just the favorite ones, you know. You got to love on all of them. Because God does amazing things with your kids. He's got a plan for each one of your kids. Amen? It's kind of like God, he has a plan for you, doesn't he? Amen? He's got a plan for you, and he's working it out right now. In spite of you, God is working out his plan for you. You know, maybe you've got a husband. Maybe you've got a wife. Maybe you've got kids. Maybe you've gotten to the point you have grandkids. You know? And God is working out a plan for you. You haven't retired. Retirement is not in the Bible. Amen? You know, and God is working out a plan for you. I mean, he's just moved you from one job to the next. He's just moved you from one place of action and activity to the next. He is working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Amen? You're born from above. You are you're somebody who God loves, who Jesus loves, and he's working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So I don't want you to be depressed. Amen? We're going to talk today about the coming Messiah. Talking about the coming Messiah. Now, he's already come for you, but we want to talk about how the scripture defines and describes how he was coming. You know, and the coming Messiah is not just he's going to show up one day. But the coming Messiah happens every single day, every single week on the inside of you. Because when you're born from above, he is continually, and then he has put his Holy Spirit on the inside of you, he is continually coming to you. Amen? He is continual. Do you wait for him every day? He's coming. He's coming to you. He likes coming in. It's kind of like coming into your room, knocking on the door. Hey, you ready? You know, here I am. I'm ready to give you the blessing of my presence for the day, because what that does is changes me. His presence every day changes me. I wake up. Amen? You know, you wake up. Everybody wake up this morning? I don't know how you got here, if you didn't, but you know, praise the Lord. God bless you. Glad you're here. But you wake up. Your eyes are open. You begin to function in a new realm, in a new environment, a new day. This is the day the Lord has made. And to recognize that and to thank God for a brand new day. The day, you know, remember yesterday is gone. You'll never see it again. You know, November 30th, 2024 is, whoop, it's gone. Sorry if you missed it. You know, sorry if you missed something, you know, from that day. Well, now you have to push it off. You know, I don't know if you'll ever get it done. Yeah, I'm sorry, it sounds awful. You know, oh no. You know, I'll never get it done now. But on December 1st, God gave you a brand new day, didn't he? It's so powerful. Don't you rejoice every single day that you wake up? I'm sure you do. You know, you're kind of like, otherwise you'd be dead, right? Because you might want to be. You might want to go to heaven. I don't know. I don't know what you want to do. But I just want you to be encouraged about every single day, looking forward to it. Don't dread a day. The devil wants you to dread a day. Do you know that? The devil likes it when you dread the day, when you dread something coming. He enjoys that because now he can destroy the plan of God. He likes to destroy the plan of God. But God, he is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. When? Today. As long as it is today, don't give up. Amen? Hallelujah. I'm just preaching to myself. You don't mind, do you? Amen. All right, let's look over here. In Isaiah, the coming Messiah. Over in Isaiah chapter 7, there is a battle going on. King Ahaz, the son of Jotham, chapter 7 of Isaiah, came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel. So you got the king of Syria and the king of Israel. So we got Syria, bad guys, and Israel, our estranged brethren, are deciding to get together and have their way with us. They're deciding to cause problems there for Judah. And went against up to Jerusalem to war against it, but they could not prevail against it. And it was told the house of David, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim, and his heart was moved in the heart of the people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. So as the heart of the people are moved as the trees are moved with the wind. In other words, the leader, the people are with them. Boy, the heart of the people was just moved as the king was desiring to move them. And then said the Lord to Isaiah, go now to meet with Ahaz, you and Sherashub, your son. Well, Isaiah always had weird son names. You realize that? Remember Maher Shalal Hasbaz? Remember him? Yeah. God wanted him to name his kids after his parts of his ministry, you know. And the end of the conduit of the upper end of the pool and the higher highway of the fuller's field. People know what that is. And say to him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the the two tails of these smoking firebrands, these two bad guys, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, let us go up to against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand. So Isaiah came to Ahaz and said, they're trying to take you, but it will not stand. It shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria and Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin, and within 65 years shall Ephraim be broken, that it be not a people. And the head of Ephraim as Samaria is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. If you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. In other words, you believe what God tells you. Believe what he's prophesying to you. Moreover, the Lord spoke again to Ahaz, saying, ask you a sign of the Lord your God. So here's Isaiah coming to Ahaz. Now, Ahaz is not a good king. Jotham was a good king. Ahaz is not a good king. Not a godly king. So the Lord spoke again to Ahaz from the mouth of Isaiah. Here in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 11. Ask you a sign of the Lord your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Well, doesn't he sound holy there? Doesn't he sound holy? You know, I will not ask. The man of God spoke. He said, ask me for a sign. No, I'm not going to do it. I would not tempt the Lord. Well, you're already, you know, on the bad side of the Lord anyway, you know. So here you are. You certainly just don't want to hear what God might say to you. Amen? I would not tempt the Lord that way. I will not ask for a fleece. Remember, you know how they ask for a fleece. I will not do such a thing. No, God said, ask me. Ask you a sign of the Lord, your God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. Ahaz said, you know, I will not, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, hear you now, O house of David. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary God? Do you know you could weary God? Isn't that funny? Could you weary God? You know, because you got your own stuff, you know. It was shared this morning, you know. I'm not sure if it's me or if it's God, you know. Come into his presence. Come into his presence. Here, Ahaz has a big problem on his hand. You know, of course, he's got this big war going on. But yet, when somebody comes to him and says, have you heard God? Have you approached the Holy One of Israel? Have you looked for God? And you say, no, I wouldn't bother God with something like that. Now, God wants you to ask him. Amen? God wants you to ask him. He wants you to continually inquire in him of his grace and his mercy. See, that's why he put the Holy Spirit on the inside of you. So you will continually have fellowship with him. You know, it's not something you just kind of put on the shelf at the end of the service on Sunday. Or something you grab down if you need some anointing oil real fast. You know, go, where's the oil? Where's the bottle of oil? Let's get it. We're having problems today. No. We're constantly walking with him. Whereas like on the road to Emmaus, you remember after after all of the struggles on the day of the day, 3 days after the crucifixion. You know, Jesus came to walk with them and to encourage them and to build them up. You know, Jesus is doing that for you today. He's the coming Messiah. He's coming to you every day. Every single day. Every hour. I need thee every hour. How many know? I need thee every hour. I need him every hour. You know, there's not an hour where I don't need him. Verse 14. So you remember the guy refused to ask for a sign? The Lord will give you a sign. Here it comes. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. Before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good, the land that you abhor shall be forsaken of both her kings. Well, wait a minute. Okay, so now we just backed up and started talking about, remember those two kings that we're having trouble with. So God, in prophecy, can put something in here that you might miss. Or you wonder, what was that? See, God put this prophetic word here in the middle of this war. And he's trying to get Ahaz and Judah out of the midst of this trouble. But in the middle of it, he gives a prophetic word for the future of Judah. He probably said, excuse me? What was that? What was that you just said? And we see God really didn't, or Isaiah didn't repeat it, but somebody got it down. But he says, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Now here's the sign. God wanted an open door to be able to give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name God with us. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know how to refuse the evil and choose the good. Now, in 16, he goes back and starts talking about these kings. That before a child is 12 or 13, able to choose good and evil, of course, you put that child, you typically put that child age as, you know, in the Jewish tradition of somebody who can make decisions, that both of those kings are going to be out of your hair. Amen. But how God puts in his prophetic words so that you write it down and then you pick it up later. And you said, there's something here that God said. I want to get it. I want to receive it. Because God will say some things, and sometimes you'll need to just write it down and let it marinate. Amen? You just need to let that thing marinate, you know. You don't have to make it. You don't make it come to pass. You don't make it come to pass. You just take what he said, you write that down, and say, okay, I don't even know what that was. But God, tell me to write that down so that I'll have it when it comes to pass. And certainly, as we know, a virgin shall bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold. This is the sign. A virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. Now, let's look over here at Isaiah. Move just a couple of chapters over. Isaiah chapter 9. Verse 6, for unto us a child is born, And to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Wow. So, not only do we have a virgin bearing a son, but then we had a child is born. Here, that Isaiah continues to expound upon, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. Now let's look at the beginning of that. Chapter 9. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and Naphtali. Now that's where these kings had been, or that we talked about earlier, had been invading from Naphtali and Zebulun, which are up in the north. And afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the shadow of death, upon them has light shined. So God is delivering them, but he's also delivering them. He's delivering them not from just the current circumstances, you know, and we're looking at that today. You know, we're looking at God, can you deliver us from the current circumstances? But God is also delivering you from another current circumstance. That which is causing you trouble on the inside of you. That's causing you trouble on the inside of your mind, your personal individual circumstance, that God is loving you and touching you and caring for you. He is not mad at you. He is not angry with you. He loves you. And he is bringing to pass his grace on the inside of you. Now meditate on that. Meditate on that. Amen? God is not after you to destroy you. He is after you to increase you, to build you up, to cause joy to come into you, and then from you, joy manifests to the rest of those around you. Amen? You are a demonstration of the love of God. Not the fact that you are loving everybody perfectly, but that God is loving you perfectly. God loves you perfectly. He's giving you a sign. He's talking to you. And he's delivering you from this current, from the current outward battles. So the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell upon the land, dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them light has shined. And over in Luke, he talks about that. He talks about this scripture. You have multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. Then they joy before you according to the joy in harvest, as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppression, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. So battles are bad. Battles are ugly. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Now, what does he do? For unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. So the governments of nations that we're afraid of, or who oppress. Even in the day of Jesus, such a government existed. When Jesus showed up, it was an oppressive government. And of course, you know, they're looking for what? A Savior. They're looking for a Messiah. They're looking for the coming Messiah. Of course, now they got John. Of course, when Jesus is coming, you know, they got John out in the wilderness. So he's you know, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So God is manifesting himself, but it's not in a way that we're expecting. Amen? God rarely manifests himself in a way that you expect. But he is loving you. He is transforming you. He is changing you. So we read this. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. So the government, all of the government shall be upon him. He is the governor. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now, of the increase of his government, and peace. So I read that. When I read that, I say, of the increase of his government and the increase of peace. Of both, not just one. Not just the increase of government and then peace, but there shall be no end. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and justice from henceforth even forever. For the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. So, from this virgin bearing a son to this child born who will have the government put upon his shoulder. See, he's transforming and changing this world from being under the enemy, from being under the devil, from being under men who are led by this world. You know, men have kind of made their own way, didn't they? Men have just kind of built this thing their own way. Once they got rid of God, whew, man, that was good. If I got rid of God, you know, ate his tree. He said, don't eat it. We ate it, you know, and got kicked out. That's the plan, man. We had planned. But how many have a plan you'd like to get God to kick you out? Amen. So you can do things your way, right? That would be great, doing things your way. Yeah, but you find out fast that doing things your way ain't so great. Amen. It's just not, you know, because you don't have any resources. You know, we're listening to this book on our trip by J.D. Vance. Hillbilly Elegy. Elegy is like a story. Hillbilly story. And man alive, That's a wild ride. You thought you had a wild ride. You should don't listen to the book with your kids. Let me tell you that though, because it's not something you would encourage them to learn. But his life, it's just like this unbelievable life of, you know, you remember Jim used to talk about dog eat dog. That was it. It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys. It's like, you know, like his grandmother would be, I don't want to give it away, but I don't know if you'll listen to it. His grandmother was a heck of a lady. Grandmother, Mamaw Blanton. Yeah, she'd chase people down and she lit grandpa on fire one time, poured gasoline on him. Just because she was mad at him. I think he'd had an affair or something once. And one of the grandkids had to put him out. This is how we live, isn't it? Amen. Isn't that, this is how people decide to live, how they decide to take care of their own problems. Amen. But God wants to come and transform you and live on the inside of you and change you. I mean, you might be able to see a little bit of Mamaw Blanton in your family or maybe in your in your upbringing, or maybe the way you handle problems. Just pour gas on it and light it. See how that works. Hope one of your grandkids is around to keep you from going to jail. Amen. But I tell you, God, when He comes, He wants to transform you, change you. He wants to come and live on the inside of you by His Holy Spirit. Remember, we talked about that, is that the Holy Spirit, He's going to live on the inside of you and change you. Amen. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. And over in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. Here's some more of the story. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Now, okay, now we know that Jesse was the father of who? Anybody? Jesse had seven sons. Father of who? David, yes. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. So it's like a tree. And here comes this. And a branch. But in the King James, it's interesting that the word branch is capitalized. And a branch. Because Jesus has been called and known as the branch. A branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. And the righteousness and righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And it goes on. So this is the Savior. This is the Savior, Christ the Lord. Much of what we read here in Isaiah 11 also is demonstrated in the book of Revelation about the picture that we have of Jesus as a man. Now, look over at Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. There's a lot in the Old Testament about the coming of Jesus. Daniel chapter 2, verse 27. Look at 26, sorry, back up a little bit. The king, this is the King Nebuchadnezzar who had the dream, right? And he dreamed about this giant, big statue. And the king answered to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar. They gave him a new name when he got over to Babylon. They called him Belteshazzar. Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof? Verse 27, Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret the king has demanded, remember he can't remember the dream, right? Remember the king, he dreamed a dream. First of all, he can't remember it. Second of all, he's got to, tell him what the dream is, and then he could interpret it. So the secret which the king has demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, and the soothsayers, they cannot show to the king. All of the king's best guys can't even do it. But first of all, he's going to testify First of all, Daniel's going to testify of God, the God of gods, the King of kings. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. As for you, O king, your thoughts came into your mind upon your bed. What should come to pass hereafter? And he that reveals secrets makes known unto you what shall come to pass. But as for me, the secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I may have, that any living, but for their sakes that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that you might know the thoughts of your heart. You, O king, saw, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before you, and the form thereof was terrible. And the king's image was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, and its feet part of iron and part of clay. You saw till that a stone, now listen to this part, a stone was cut without hands, which smote the image upon its feet, and that were of iron and clay, and broke them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, gold, broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. Now, that anybody know what that stone was? Because you had the kingdoms of Babylon, of the Medes and the Persians, of Greece and of Rome, all in that statue. All in that image that Nebuchadnezzar had built or that he saw. And then, of course, you remember that later, after all of this revelation from God, that the image, he built the image. But what did he build the image out of? Anybody remember? He didn't build it out of gold on the top and silver in the middle and brass in the hips and iron in the legs. And yeah, he didn't build it like that. What did he build it out of? Gold. From top to bottom. From top to bottom, he built the whole thing. Because he was going to be the king. He didn't have to pay attention to those other guys. He didn't need to pay attention to those other kingdoms. He's going to pay attention to his kingdom. Anybody? Pay attention to my kingdom. But even in the dream, from the very outset, he says there is coming a stone that is going to destroy that entire image. And the stone itself will become a great mountain. Over in Exodus 32, Moses talks about the rock that followed them through the wilderness. So who is this stone? The stone that he talks about later in Isaiah, the stone that the builders rejected, has become the head of the corner. So here in Daniel, when King Nebuchadnezzar has a vision of the rest of the world, a vision of the rest of the world, right? I mean, all of these kingdoms, and then finally, Rome, that kingdom in the feet of clay mixed with, in other words, a kingdom that really cannot have strength because it's the iron and the clay are mixed together. So at one point, Rome was legs of iron. It has two legs, right? Rome had two. So all of a sudden, the kingdom has two legs, east and west. But then it begins to crumble. Yet the stone which Daniel saw to destroy all the kingdoms of this world, because the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and the kingdom of his Christ. From a, behold, a virgin shall bear a son and call his name Emmanuel. And unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Now, so the stone struck the image, and the stone is Christ. First, we'll look at 44 and 45 in Daniel 2. You can read the rest of that chapter, but let's look at Daniel 2, 44 and 45. And in the days of these kings, the kings that were, you know, the various parts of the image or the statue that Nebuchadnezzar had seen that Daniel described. In the days of these kings shall God, the God of heaven, so Daniel is announcing, the God of heaven shall set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms. And it, that kingdom, shall stand forever. For as much as you saw in that, since the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the brass, and the clay, and the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Amen. Now, but you remember, see, when he built this image, you remember there's three other guys in this book of Daniel. Who are they? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And he built this image, and the king made the decree. It says, anybody of gold, entirely made it of gold, not of the other multiple metals, but just of gold, because it's just him. His kingdom is going to be forever. So he forgets about God. And then he throws these guys into the flaming fiery furnace, and out they come. Because God is always ahead of everybody else. God's ahead of everybody else with respect to you. Amen? It says they refused to bow down to this image. He said, anybody who doesn't bow down to the image when the gong hits, when the band starts playing, he's going to be thrown in the burning fiery furnace. And they were. He wasn't wrong. They were. They were thrown in there. He said, God preserved them. Because Jesus was in there. He said, he looked into the flaming fiery furnace and he said, what? He said, whoa, hey, whoa. There's somebody else in there. There's a fourth guy. There's a fourth guy in there. And he looks like the Son of God. I don't know how you'd know what the Son of God looked like if you never saw him, but I guess you can. I guess if you never saw him and he was there, you'd know what he looked like. Amen? Okay, Isaiah, okay, let's look over to Jeremiah quickly and we'll wrap this up. Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a righteous branch. Oh, there's the branch again. I'll raise to David, as a son of David, a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely, and this his name is hereby where he shall be called, is the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Okay, now look over at Jeremiah 31. 31. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this covenant shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man to his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. And finally, let's turn over to Jeremiah 33, verse 14 through 16. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. And in those days and at that time, I will cause the branch, there he is again, he just turns up everywhere. I will cause the branch of righteousness to grow up to David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith Israel shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. So, these are the prophetic instances of the coming Savior, of the coming Savior of the Lord, the King of Israel, the King of the house of David, there shall never be a time that the King is not on the throne of the house of David. And this is the King for eternity. And his name is Jesus. He's not only the king on the throne of Israel, he's king on your throne. Amen. Because he's come to dwell in you. He's come to live in you. You know, over in, when, you know, Jeff was talking this morning about Psalm 37. I love that song. Now I can't remember. Is that, don't fear the evildoers. Fret not. I love fret not. It's like Paul, guitar player. How would you play guitar if you fret not? You should have told us that. That's one of your favorites. Fret not because of unbelievers who seem to prosper in their way. He says, but you trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord and do good. I thought I couldn't do good. I thought in this church I couldn't do good. You can't. But he lives on the inside of you. He's in you to will it and to do it. He's in there.
Really?
Yes. He's in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know, when he talks about delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you, Jeff mentioned that, he shall give you the desires of your heart. You know, we think, oh, good. Ferrari? PlayStation? The Aggies will never lose again? You know? No. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That is, he's going to give you desires that you never had before. You're going to love people like you never loved them before. You're going to love people. There's going to be people out there that you thought, man, that's a jerk. Wish I couldn't have to love that person. But you don't have to love that person. You do love that person. You know that Jesus didn't have to love people, that he just loved them? Why did he love them? Did you know he loved Pharisees and Sadducees? He loved them. And then he moved on the inside of you, and now you do.
Well, I don't know that I do, brother. I think I got problems with some of those people.
No, fact is that you just, the only problem you got is with you. Is an evil spirit of unbelief. Amen. Like that king over here, you know, he wasn't going to ask God for a sign because he's afraid what God will tell him. You know what? God loves you. You know how much God loves you? He loves you. He loves you so much. He spent all of his, poured out all of his blood for you. And he said, come on in. Come in. Come into my house. Come into my house. And see, all of these promises that he's given us, prophecies that he's given, that he gave to Israel, are the same prophecies, but he's given them to you because he wanted you as much as he wanted Israel. Remember, he told Abraham, he said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. Not just one piddly old Israel, little bitty nation. No, he's the father of many nations, Abraham is. You know, I mean, he just barely got started when he died. You know, he had that one boy, you know. But you know what? Even though the promise came through Isaac, you know, he made a promise to Ishmael, didn't he? Said he's going to be a great nation. He told his mom. He said, you're going to be a great nation. You know, like telling Susie, your boys are going to be great nations.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. They're going to be great nations. Tell your kids that they're going to be great nations. Tell them that. Tell them that. Because God is with them. Amen? Because they've trusted and believed that there's a God who made you. He made you and he loves you and he's going to make you into a great nation.
Well, I just don't know how that could ever happen.
Doesn't matter what you know or what you think. Come into the presence of the living God. Love him, know him, receive him. Say, Jesus, come on inside of me. I believe that you died for my sin. I believe that you died for me. That everything I ever did wrong, you died for that and you paid for it. And that you're going to come on the inside of me and you're going to make me brand new. You're going to fill me with the Holy Ghost. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and transform and change me into a son of God. Into a daughter of God. Amen? Don't be afraid. I can't not be afraid. No, you can too. You have to teach people. Isn't that right? Don't you have to teach people? Susie, did you ever get taught? Quite a few times. Amen. You know, people, God wants to teach you how to walk in joy unspeakable every single day, even with crummy circumstances. I mean crummy, you know. I won't use that language from the hillbilly language. But it's crummy. You know, there are crummy circumstances. And everybody has some. Amen? Amen? He says, in the world you're going to have troubles. But, I love the but, be of good cheer. See, you need to say but really loud. Because people don't hear that. They don't hear that part. They hear, yeah. Yeah, I heard about all that God stuff before. No, I tell you, just start believing what I said, what the Holy Spirit said, is that, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Amen? Greater is he who is in you than he that's in the world. Don't forget to say that today. Today! Don't forget to say that before the end of the day. Greater is he that's in you, in me, than he that is in the world. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we rejoice and give you praise and thank you for the goodness of God. Thank you for the coming Messiah. He's not only already come, but he's coming today. He's coming today. He's coming in me today. He's showing up today, this afternoon. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that each one of us hears and sees and knows that you're preparing us as our sister said, for the days ahead. Preparing us for the day. I'm being prepared. I'm being groomed. I'm being set up. I'm being prepared for the days of Elijah. The days that Jesus is coming again. We love you and we give you praise. Father, teach us how to rejoice every single day and expect that coming Messiah as you reveal Him day after day after day in us through the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen.